Hey everyone, welcome to Strong Mind, Strong Body. I'm your host, Angie Miller, and we are going to talk about stress because did you know it is Stress Awareness Month? So what else would we want to talk about besides stress? Not just what comes our way, but the role that we play, how we respond, and what we may or may not be doing to invite in or to increase our level of stress, and how, in fact, we can stay calm in the chaos. So in 2021, I did a podcast and it was titled, Wanna Stress Less? Stop doing these 10 things. And my goal in that show and in today's show is to talk about ways that we can calm our stress and then share some practical strategies to help us, actually, my goal was to talk about some of the ways that we create our stress and then to talk about some strategies to calm the chaos, if you will. Because the thing about stress is that we all experience different stress and we experience stress differently. So my stress is different from your stress and vice versa. And some of us are better than with coping than others. And some of us, we get in our way more than others do. But if there's one thing for sure that I know to be true is that stress is part of life, like it or not. But we can all learn tools to manage it more effectively so that it does have less impact and so that we're more confident that whatever comes our way, we're like, I've got this. So I'm going to give you some ways that I think that all of us might unknowingly contribute to our stress and how we can conquer it. So the first way that I think many of us contribute to our stress, or maybe I'm just talking to me, is we strive for perfection. Striving for perfection in all areas of life can lead to stress, as it's this idea that we're setting these unrealistic expectations. In psychology today, it was said that stress, that perfectionism is a trait that makes life this endless report card on accomplishments or looks. When healthy, it can be self-motivating. It can drive you to overcome adversity and to achieve success. But when unhealthy, it can be a fast and enduring track to unhappiness. So, you know, if you are wondering, well, how do I know if I'm a perfectionist? I guess I would ask you, do you sometimes feel like nothing you accomplish is ever good enough? Or do you agonize about making decisions or worry tremendously about making mistakes? Or do you procrastinate on big projects? And when you do get started, do you rework and rework them to death? Perfectionism is not uncommon, especially for fitness professionals. So the key is perfectionism can drive stress, but what can we do to conquer it? I think the first thing we can do is practice acceptance and embrace the idea that it's good enough for now. So I'm in the speaker mastermind, and last week we were on a call, and I have my one sheet, which is basically my promo sheet to give to companies and organizations to see if they want to hire me. And I have been belaboring this one sheet and redoing it and going over it and over it. And finally, the gal who runs the mastermind was like, Angie, remember, good enough for now. You're going to constantly do different iterations of your one sheet, and it's always going to change and adapt. So make it good enough for now. So I think that's a huge one when it comes to perfectionism. Just get something in. You can always iterate or change it later. So a few other keys about perfectionism is just try to focus on the first step, because that whole staircase seems very, very daunting. But if we just focus on the first step and then we go from there, it's less daunting. Another thing about us perfectionists, we really need a deadline. Our nemesis is when someone says, oh, just turn it in when you get it done. It's like, oh no, that will never work. So we need a deadline because we do better. And then remember that the foundation of perfectionism is fear. So what are you really afraid of? What's the worst that can happen? You know, you might fear that you're going to fail a test. Well, then you retake it. So you might fear that you're not going to get the speaking gig, but you'll get the next one. So that's perfectionism. I think another way that we contribute to our stress is we overcommit. We are yes people, especially in fitness and wellness, because we want to save the world. We want to save our clients, save everybody. But then we take on too many obligations and responsibilities. And then we get that feeling of being overwhelmed and stressed and resentful because we're so frustrated that we have so much on our plate. So the best way to conquer overcommitting is the way that we all know, and that's just to set boundaries, you know, to say no when we need to and to prioritize. And of course, we have to prioritize based on our personal values. So we kind of have to know our limits and what do we most want? What do we most want to achieve? Who do we most want to impact? And then go through our days and decide how many of my hours today were spent on my biggest goals and that lead into my greatest value system. So I think too that we also have to just get good at clearly communicating what our needs are in our personal and professional relationships so that we know that we can say yes to what matters to us and say no to what doesn't. So speaking of that whole communication piece, I think a big, big source of stress for pretty much all of us globally would be communication concerns, whether it be with your partner or your boss or your best friend or whoever it might be. I think that communication is key. It's the core of everything we do. And as humans, we're social creatures. So our relationships are the foundation to our well-being. So how well we communicate with other people or not is often really what drives how our day goes. When someone says, "How was your day?" And if you had an altercation with somebody or you disagreed with somebody, you're probably gonna be like, "Oh, I had a terrible day because Sally at work said such and such." And then it just kind of takes down the energy of your whole day. Positive communication builds trust in authentic listening or authentic connection with others. I think the key is that we have to develop good listening skills. And we have to have good emotional intelligence. So we have this empathy and this understanding for how we see the world, but also how other people see the world. And again, a big part of emotional intelligence is how well are you able to listen to other people? Because I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that's going to drive down communication challenges, it's you being an amazing listener who makes other people feel like you value them and you're willing to hear what they have to say. So how do we manage communication struggles? Well, I did a whole podcast called Managing Conflict in Communication. And in there, I said that I believe managing conflict isn't about us learning how to manage difficult people, even though we always want to think other people are difficult. It's really learning how to manage you when you're dealing with difficult people, because we know we can't change other people. We can't change their behavior or their responses, but we can play a powerful role in how we communicate, whether it's conflict or not. So again, I think the most important thing when it comes to communication is just being willing to maybe close our mouths more and listen with more, you know, compassion and empathy for other people and where they stand. Listening doesn't mean we agree. It doesn't mean we're on the same page. It's just acknowledgement so that other people feel heard. It just shows them that you value them and you respect their perspective, even if it's different from yours. Another thing about listening is we can just ask those open-ended questions where we invite them to tell us more information, like, "How are you feeling about this situation?" Or just "Help me to understand where you're at with this." Because communication, again, that's our foundation. Our relationships mean so much to us. And our day is likely to not go well if we run into a communication issue with someone. So another way that we kind of get in our own way and add to our stress is we get stuck in negative thought patterns. Negative thoughts are like cognitive distortions that keep us stuck in habitual ways of thinking. There's a great TED talk where I think it's, I can't remember who it is. It was the guy with Headspace, and he talks about how we replay thoughts over and over and over in our head, and we just start spinning them and we can't get out of our own head. Daniel Amen calls them ants, automatic negative thoughts. They're mental traps that hold us back. and they lead to shoulding and masturbating. I must do this, and blaming, and I can't do this. And it's all this mental sabotage. When we dwell on negative thoughts, we start to expect worst case scenario, and then we're not very good at problem solving. So, you know, a couple of negative thoughts that I think people get caught up in is they do the should statements. I should do this. I should go to the gym. And another one is they exaggerate the negative, but diminish the positive. So they say things like, I lost 5 pounds, but I really wanted to lose 10. And so what if we replace the word but with and it's I lost 5 pounds and with a little bit more time, I'm going to lose 10. So just thinking about what are those negative thought loops that you get caught up in, because that's going to drive stress probably more than anything. So how do we challenge or conquer negative thinking? There's a lot of ways. And, you know, I guess my number one tip to you would be just to learn how to reframe, right? Just really challenge those negative thoughts and learn how to reframe. Because reframing is like you take one picture and you put it in a different frame, and all of a sudden it looks like a different picture, but it's really the same. It just changes the way that you see something, and it changes your lens and your perspective. So kind of notice what your negative thoughts are. You might have to just jot them down throughout the day. What are the constant messages that I'm saying? Like, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to get that speaking gig. I'm not a good mom. I'm not a good dad, or I'm never going to be able to own my own business. Whatever those are, write them down and then replace it with some more positive thoughts. I haven't owned my business up until now, right? Or if I think I'm a bad mom, what can I do in the future to be a better one? And then challenge it. Is there a solution that you can implement? So again, I'm Angie Miller. This is Strong Mind, Strong Body. And we're talking about stress because it's Stress Awareness Month. And I don't want to just give you tools like go do biofeedback, do self-care. All those things are amazing and they're evidence-based. But I really want to talk about these ways that we kind of create our own stress, and then what we can do to get out of our own way and conquer these patterns that we get caught up in that make us feel more stressed throughout the day. So another way that we unknowingly contribute to our stress is a lot of times we get caught up in the blame cycle. So we get this impression that other people are responsible for our struggles. But if we spend all of our energy blaming other people, then it feels like we believe that the solution isn't within our control. It's outside of our control. It's someone else's problem. And if it's someone else's problem, then we're kind of a victim. And what are we going to do to solve it? Because we just said, hey, it's XYZ's problem. And maybe it is. Maybe it is their, quote, fault that this happened. But it's really up to us to fix and solve it, because it's us who have to live our best life. So how do we conquer blaming? I think first we have to just own it when we make a mistake and know that it's not the end of the world. That actually it's this way to claim our personal power, is so that, hey, if I made the mistake, then I can fix that mistake. And that makes me a person who's empowered, not a victim. Right? So if I'm pointing the finger, then I'm just going to stay stuck. I think that also letting go of excuses, like not allowing ourselves to make excuses, right? Like, I wasn't late for work because of traffic. I was late for work because maybe I just didn't leave early enough. So a good way to avoid blame is also kind of doing things that help you process whatever it is that's coming up, like these things that you're holding on to. So whether it's talk therapy or journaling or talking with someone you trust, do whatever you can do to kind of cultivate a healthy mind and be like, okay, maybe this person did do this to you and it did cause a domino effect, but you're the one who's got the wheel of your car. You're the one who's got the foot on the accelerator, and ultimately it's your life. So you get to drive the distance and go the direction you need to go. So another way that I think we contribute to our stress is that we kind of just sometimes don't have good time management and we procrastinate. And I will tell you, I think I wrote the book on procrastination and I'm not proud of it. Okay. I'm a big procrastinator. And somewhere along the way, I told myself this story that, hey, Angie, I think you function best when you do things at the last minute. And you know what? Sometimes that story works for me. Sometimes I knock something out at the last minute. And it's like, yes, that was amazing. And sometimes I knock something out at the last minute. It's like, not so much. Probably could have been better had I not procrastinated. But procrastination and poor time management are generally linked to the first thing that I talked about, which is perfectionism. Because when we need to get things perfect, then we're kind of paralyzed because we want to avoid the task because this idea of trying to get it perfect is so stressful that we just avoid it. And then it gets more stressful because the deadline keeps creeping up on us. So I think the key is if we struggle with time management and procrastination, and we know it's due to perfectionism. Again, we need deadlines. And we also really need to learn how to prioritize our tasks because maybe we're doing things that aren't top priority, but they're keeping us busy. So we have this idea that we're busy all the time, but are we busy or are we productive doing things that matter the most? So to conquer time management and procrastination, I think we just have to, again, break things into smaller tasks, tackle things one day at a time, set deadlines, hold ourselves accountable, and avoid leaving tasks till the last minute. So I still do to-do lists. I'm a big to-do list person, and I like to scratch it out or check it off. So I go, yes, I accomplished that. So I think then we get the sense that we're making progress. And then also, if we do time management, we need to know how long we need to allocate for different things because some things are just going to take more time than others. So, you know, last but not least on that, just make sure you know what's wasting your time, so to speak. Like, do you really need to clean your house today or do you need to work on studying for the exam that you're ready to take, right? So what's just being mistaken for busy and what's truly a priority? Right? So how are we doing? We're talking about stress. We're talking about ways that we invite in stress and how we can stop doing that. So another way that we unknowingly contribute to our stress, and I think this is a big one, is that we avoid facing problems. And, you know, for some people, they're like that boiling pot. They're always trying to put the lid on the discomfort. Like the pot is boiling, the train is coming. We know we've got this problem, but dealing with it just seems so overwhelming that we keep trying to suppress it. We keep trying to put the lid in and we keep trying to pretend like everything's going to just go away if we just like close our eyes and ignore it. And it just doesn't work that way, right? So if we ignore problems rather than confront them, then our stress just gets worse because it keeps piling up. So when we suppress or we deny or we pretend or we numb, it doesn't make the problem go away. It just makes the problem knock louder. And then the issues or the problems are going to follow us wherever we go. It's like when people are, you know, to me, there's a difference between, I'm going to go on a, you know, retreat to kind of dig deep into who I am and what I need. That's good. But if it's, I'm going to, you know, keep moving or keep changing jobs because I can't find my joy, then it kind of sounds like we're just escaping and not actually dealing with whatever is the real problem going on. So how do we stop avoiding problems? I think that the key is we have to start taking on issues as they come our way. So I've used the backpack analogy so many times where we stuff all of our stuff into our backpack, all of our baggage, all of our grievances, all of the things that we're holding onto from childhood or former relationships. And then we just put it on our back and we carry it with us. And we're all like, you know, I've got all this stuff that I haven't let go of. And then at some point when the stress gets to be too much, there's a very high likelihood something's going to trigger you. probably something completely unrelated and not even worthy of this. And the next thing you know, you're going to rip that backpack open. You're going to start flinging out your stuff. And whoever is there is going to get the mother load of whatever you're holding on to. You're going to start flinging your baggage around. And chances are, again, it's going to be out of context because it's going to be something that's going to tip the scales. But it probably doesn't even have to do with the real issue. So suppression doesn't work. Whether we journal or we talk to somebody or we get a therapist or a coach, trying to pretend like problems aren't there is definitely not the best way to make them go away. So what do you think? Have I found any that you feel like you're like, oh yeah, I think I do that? Because I'm just going to admit to you that a lot of these came from my own personal experiences, right? My experience with perfectionism, my experience with time management, because I'm so worried about getting everything perfect. So the last thing that I want to talk about is, I think a big way we unknowingly contribute to our stress is we seek external validation. And in doing that, we also compare ourselves to others. I think that the fitness and wellness industry in general is like a breeding ground for comparisons. And we rely on external validation more than we even admit sometimes, because we're looking to our clients to give us feedback on how we did. When I go speak at an event, they all have to rate me. And so it's that idea that my value for what I do is tied into how much other people liked what I did. And that's true, right? I'm not going to get another speaking job if this community or this group didn't like me, because they're not going to refer me. But at the same time, there's that fine line between how they felt about me and that day on that presentation does not truly define who I am as a human. It is not about my self-worth. It's about how I happen to do on that one engagement. So I think we have to be really, really careful that we don't let other people determine our self-worth, that we don't rely so heavily on their validation that it leads to undue amounts of stress and anxiety. Because what it also does is it makes us very vulnerable to other people's opinions. And the thing is that everyone's got an opinion. So if you're super vulnerable to other people's opinions, you're going to get crushed by those opinions, because there's no way we're going to please everybody. And that's the thing. You're talking to a people pleaser. So I get it, but I've had to do a lot of work. And, you know, I don't just practice as a therapist. I have a therapist. I've had to do a lot of work to be like, hey man, you can't determine your worth based on what other people think of you. So when you're trying so hard to please everyone, you kind of sacrifice yourself and you lose sight of what matters to you and what brings you joy. Because isn't that what matters most? What brings you joy? What makes you want to get out of bed in the morning? So I think that, how do we do this? How do we like conquer this need to do comparisons and get external validation? I think that we first need to hang out with people who truly support us and lift us up. We need to keep those people close and tight because we need them in our corner. I think that it also helps that we do things that we're good at, but we also do things that we're not good at, so that we get used to not being good at things. And then when we do get good at them, we're like, yes, look at me. I'm confident. I'm empowered. I can try new things. And I also think that when it comes to social media, limit it. If it starts to suck you in and it starts to make you feel negative, shut back on it. Right? I do it all the time. I've been quiet on social media for weeks now. Sometimes we just have to step away from it, especially if we're getting caught in comparisons. The idea for that I would want to encourage you is that you focus on having an internal locus of control, which means that you feel like your control comes from within. You know that you have agency over your personal well-being. And you know that you have agency over your life and your actions. And so that to me drives self-efficacy, this belief that you've got this, because you do. And the less you invest in what other people think and the more you invest in what you think, the better off you're going to be. All right. So those are my ways that I think we get in our way and some of the ways that I think we can stop. And I guess my last tip to you would be to focus just on being flexible in the way that you think and respond to life. Remember that resilient people learn from failure and they search for meaning when they fail or they struggle, right? So adjust your expectations. It doesn't mean you lower them. It just means that change and chaos are part of life. So kind of watch your shoulds and ask yourself, what if things could be different? So I'm Angie Miller. I appreciate you joining me on Strong Mind, Strong Body and talking about stress. I look forward to seeing you next week, and I hope you have a great week.